The Maple Leafs split the weekend games an inch closer to clinching home ice advantage in round one. And Dave, Joe Woll making a name for himself. Can he get himself into the goalie rotation down the stretch? Let's break it all down on today's edition of Locked On Leafs.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the March 27th edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, Dave Morosuti from Sportsnet, also a writer for the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs, a daily Maple Leafs-centric podcast, so be sure to subscribe for free. Wherever you get your podcast from, you can also catch us up on YouTube. Search up Locked On Leafs. Got new content, new videos, new podcasts, 5 days a week, each and every weekday morning. Make sure you also hit the little notification bell if you're on YouTube to be alerted when we drop those new episodes. A couple of games this weekend. Leafs with a back-to-back. They split the series. A 5-3 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes and a 3-2 win on their second night of the back-to-back against the Nashville Predators. And Dave, funny enough, like these felt like two very similar games where the Leafs kind of asleep at the wheel the first few minutes. They were outshot heavily in the first 5 to 8 minutes of the hockey game. And that really took over and were the better team the rest of the way.
Yeah, very much so. I think the Leafs, complete identical MOs of these games. And maybe it's something we're going to maybe see a little bit more of, just, you know, feeling the opponent out a little bit and then just flip a switch and kind of just establish your dominance. I don't know if it's exactly the recipe for success you want, but I mean, like, pretty decent efforts, I'll say, on especially in back-to-back situations. I thought maybe the game in Nashville, part of that had to do with the back-to-back earlier start. I thought maybe that played a factor, but then I think Nashville also played the night before, so both teams were coming off back-to-backs. But yeah, I mean, you would have liked to have gotten the full 4 points or at least 3 points out of the weekend, but I thought, you know, two games at least could have, well, one game they won, possibly two they could have easily won.
Well, luckily, the Tampa Bay Lightning don't seem to be on any good roll right now, so it's not as if they're kind of making up ground on Toronto anyways, so that's good. I think as of now, just currently looking it up, they sit there. They're still up at the top of or not the top. They're in second place where they have been all year. They're up 7 points right now with a game in hand over the Tampa Bay Lightning, and there's still one game to go between those two teams as well. So that'll be an important game. Toronto wins that game, it's over. Curtain's gone. Like Toronto has locked up home ice advantage, then that would be it. I think right now, like a good wager would to say they'll end up winning home ice, barring any type of, you know, situation where Toronto really, really hits a skid at the end. And that'll be more worrisome than losing home ice. It's just the fact that, but that's not what it looks like. Cause I thought they played a terrific game tonight. Like that game against Carolina was a real solid game. And Pyotr Kochetkov, the young Russian goaltender there, like he had to make, I mean, that the Leafs easily could have scored 5, 6, 7 goals against Carolina. Like they had a lot of really good looks, and Kochetkov was all over the place, and he really allowed them to kind of stay in it and keep his team ahead for the most part. And then once Toronto tied it, Carolina, you know, scored 20 seconds later to make it 4-3, and then they got an empty netter. So, but Toronto probably deserved, you know, some points in that game, at least 1 point. So that they played great. The Nashville game, legitimately, Dave, one of the better games that I've seen this team play. I mean, you take away that first 5, 6 minutes where they were outshot like 7-0 or something stupid like that. That might be the best I've seen these Maple Leafs play this season. They were terrific in the offensive end. They were, you know, so many opportunities in tight. They were working, fighting for center ice. They were getting all these slot opportunities, good chances, keeping cycles alive, keeping second opportunities alive at the blue line with an active stick. Defensively, they didn't really allow anything. I think I saw they had 4 slot shots allowed in the entire game at 5-on-5. Four. The Maple Leafs had like 20. it was a clinic that they put on. There was an element of physicality from a lot of these guys. Justin Hall blew up a dude, and then you had Joseph Woll playing excellent, excellent goaltender. So the goalie was an A-plus tonight. Defensively, they're an A-plus tonight. And the forward group, you can give them all pretty much an A-plus as well. Everybody really contributing, or at least getting a lot of opportunities and chances. I thought this game against Nashville was super encouraging and one of the better that we've seen. And it's nice to see that it comes just as we gear up for the final stretch and into the playoffs.
I think the important thing to keep in mind here is, like, look, there's a universe where the Carolina Hurricanes should beat the Toronto Maple Leafs just based on how they've been playing this season, all those factors. But what I liked about this win against Nashville is Nashville clearly should not be beating the Leafs. They don't have the talent that matches up against the Leafs really that much. They have their backup goaltender in net. And the Leafs not only beat them, but beat them in convincing fashion. And that's what I think I liked most about that game. And yeah, a lot of good individual performances that you can take out of it. But then once you saw that they got over that little lull at the beginning where Nashville was just throwing everything on net, Toronto just got their legs under them. They got the chemistry started building again. And yeah, like that's, pretty good, two pretty good games. But yeah, like I just like the fact that they knew that they could beat Nashville. They weathered that storm and the confidence just from there. Almost every line, you could see that they were had some sort of impact on this game. Like there weren't as many passengers. Like you're not relying totally on the top six to do everything. Guys lower in the lineup were contributing in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and you know, if it wasn't on the score sheet, it was defensively, it was killing penalties, it was, you know, back checking, forechecking. You know, there was a lot of really good things that we saw happen in this game and in Carolina, both games. I thought, like, again, Toronto played extremely well for the final 50 or so minutes of those games. A couple things that I think we do need to kind of dive into a little bit. One, Austin Matthews, this guy is heating up. And there is a Joe Woll conversation that is being had online right now. We'll discuss if we think there's any merit to it. Is Joe Woll going to factor into this, into the crease conversation down the stretch and into the playoffs? Well, we could chat about all of that on the other side. But first, Dave, how about a word for one of our show sponsors?
Yes. Today's episode is brought to you by AG1 by Athletic Greens. The grip of winter is finally being loosened and you may be trying to get back into a more healthy and active lifestyle. What better way to pair with some new exercise habits than having a new daily dose of nutritional insurance in the form of AG1. With one delicious scoop of AG1 and a glass of water each day, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things that I just listed. It's also lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. AG1 contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or anything artificial, while still also tasting good and supporting better sleep quality recovery, mental clarity, and alertness. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free supply of immune-supporting vitamin D for a whole year and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. It's Mike DiStefano and Dave Morosutti, your hosts here at Locked On Leafs. We do daily Maple Leafs podcasts. If it's your first time stumbling upon us, well, hopefully that you enjoy the content that we're providing you. And just know that we do this each and every weekday. We got 5 shows coming to you each and every week, every morning. So make sure that you do subscribe and leave a comment down below your thoughts on this weekend's game. Did it encourage you going forward down the stretch as we're now down to the final 10 games of the season? Actually, less. I think there's only 9 games of the season now after this game, I do believe. That was game 73, right?
Yeah, we were at 73 games.
Yeah, so 9 games under the single-digit mark before we get to before the real games start, pal. The real games start. But it's nice to see that the Leafs still got some battle in them. Couple things that we got to get to. I think we got to talk about Austin Matthews and, you know, how encouraging it is to see this guy rounding back into form as his MVP self. Like the game in Carolina, he was a man on a mission. Man on a mission, David. Like the guy finally ended up scoring a goal, scored twice in that game. He had 15 shots, and it looked like he could have had 5 or 6 goals. Like it wasn't just little fluff shots. Like these were real quality looks, and it seemed to me like this guy, there was no doubt in my mind he was going to put a puck in the back of the net. Didn't do it once. He did it twice. It was just the fourth time all season that he's been able to get himself a multi-goal game. Great to see out of Austin Matthews.
And it was great to see it against a high-quality opponent, too, in a playoff-like atmosphere. That's such an encouraging performance because we've seen those performances, but I don't think we've seen them in those circumstances enough. You know, we talk about the playoffs, and part of the problem has been the Stars haven't really brought their A game in the playoffs. If Austin Matthews plays like that in the playoffs, like the Leafs, you love the Leafs' chances. That's the Austin Matthews that they need. And I think, yeah, the 15 shots was so impressive. And you brought up the fact that they weren't just like, you know, just throwing anything on net. No, these were like high quality chances. He could have had, I think I counted 6 goals myself in that game. Just like how many times he got past the Hurricanes defense, which is not very easy to do.
So according to Natural Stat Trick, at 5-on-5 alone, let me see what his numbers is throughout the entire game. Oh my God, this is ridiculous. So throughout the entire game, I guess. So the full, how many played? He played 22 minutes and 19 seconds, which is about a third of the game, a little more than a third of the game. His individual expected goals is 1.98. So basically was expected to score 2 goals, but individual scoring chances, 14. Of the 14 individual scoring chances he had in that game, 11 of them were considered high danger chances. 11 high danger chances himself. David himself.
There are times where teams can't even get 11 in a game. No. Like just teams in general.
Yeah. You mean like the Nashville Predators tonight who only had 9?
Yeah. I think they had 4. I think I saw Keith mention they had 4 slot shots.
Yeah. 4 slot shots. But as a whole, like through 60 minutes of play, not even at 5-on-5, as a whole, only 9 high danger shots, chances is what Nashville had tonight. Matthews had 11 by himself in the game against Carolina. And again, was just as ruthless tonight. Like tonight, he had so many good looks and, you know, he didn't end up bearing, but he had a couple of assists in this game against Nashville. And of course, you know, he had some good opportunities to score, just didn't find the back of the net. But what do you have? 3 shots at 5-on-5. How many do you have in total? 5 shots on goal and 6 individual scoring chances tonight. So he was around it tonight again.
Yeah, he slowed down a little bit tonight. You know, just very unacceptable for Austin Matthews. You know, after you put up 15, it's crazy because like I even looked, what's the most shots on goal players had in the game? Ray Bourque had like 19 shots on goal in a game. I can't remember. It's just nuts to think. I didn't even think a player I've seen like Ovechkin put up 10 shots on goal multiple times. I just would never think a player could actually get up to 15 just because of how hard it is to get chances on net. I think like an impressive game where a guy gets 5 on net, but to get 15 is just utterly ridiculous. And yeah, and the good thing about
like against Carolina, who is one of the best shot suppression teams in the National Hockey League. That's what's almost even more impressive. It's just who it was against. If it happens against, you know, Arizona, or if it happens against, who's actually playing some good hockey right now, but we'll say it happens against like Columbus or against Anaheim, you know, those teams that are really out of it, where the defense is terrible. It's still extremely impressive, but it's like, okay, well, those teams just suck. This is the Carolina freaking Hurricanes, who have arguably one of the best, you know, defensive structures in the NHL and have for years. And this guy's able to rip 15 on net. Crazy. Yeah,
absolutely ridiculous. Like, just gotta love it.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, you just have to love it because we hear Sheldon Keefe pump his tire and saying he's back to being his dominant self, but it's not like, how can the coach not say that after what you just see? Like, it's not, we're not, there's no Toronto bias here. If you ask anybody else in another market, Austin Matthews is playing, they would agree with that, with those sentiments, just by watching what he's doing each and every night now.
Yeah, he looked like the best player on the planet this weekend. I'll say that hands down. Like, I, yeah.
Like, we've seen Connor McDavid have dominant performances. Like, Austin Matthews is now getting to, like, close. If, like, that's like Connor McDavid esque from Austin Matthews.
What to you looks different? Like, what are you seeing outside of the numbers? Because, like, yeah, the numbers are there. Like, he's scoring goals at a crazy pace. He's got, like, what does he have, 8 goals in his last 10 games? Like, and he's got something to the effect of 16 points in those 10 games. Like, yeah, the points are there, but physically, like, what are you see? I'm curious, get your percent, because I have somewhat of an answer, but what are you seeing where you're like, okay, yeah, this guy looks like he's taking over games again?
He's taking charge, in my opinion. He's not passing things off. He's going to those nitty gritty areas. Like, that's where he's at his best, when he's getting to those areas that goal scorers love to get to and put those chances in. Like, you look at the game against Florida where he walks around the net, doesn't look like anything's going to come about, and he turns around and he just wires one. Like, that's only something really Austin Matthews can do at ease, right? Yeah. Other players can do it, but they can't do it at the same level or consistency Austin Matthews can do it. I think that's probably it. Consistency in his effort each and every night. Ever since that loss against the Islanders, it's almost like, and he got, you know, he took a couple of shots to the no man's land there.
Oh, he took one to the pills against Carolina too, literally right at the start of the game. At the start of the game. And I didn't know what happened, obviously. I think we're all in the same boat where it's like, uh-oh, he went down. Like, what? Why did he go down off that faceoff? What happened? Did he, like, strain a groin? And then, of course, you see the replay. Heel straight to the pills. Poor guy.
I'm like, I would have been down. I would have been facing the ice, not even able to move.
Call an ambulance. Can of corn. Can of corn. I'll be fine. A can of corn. Please tell me you get that reference. Yes, what's the reference? Come on now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the longest yard?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it is. Can of corn. Joey Diaz.
Give me a Diet Coke. I'll be good.
Yeah, for me, it's just like he's just skating so much. Like, his feet are moving. Like, it's not that he's just skating, but his feet are constantly moving in the offensive zone. He's, like, weaving in and out of traffic to find those pockets to get those shots off from all over the ice. And even if you watch, like, the power play in this game against Nashville was so electric tonight. Like, they were just – and it's because, honestly, they all just move and rotate around. Like, it's so fluid. Like, if you're on the half wall – and I'm using quotations – you may start on the half wall. You may start in the, like, but that doesn't mean that's where you're going to finish, right? Like, that's just, I think that's what's honestly probably so difficult to defend this Leafs power play, which is now up to second in the league. And it's been one of the top power play units since the new year. And it's because it's unlike last season, where it became so predictable, they were just going to try and find Matthews kind of in his office, and he was going to try and rip a one-timer. I think they realized that teams definitely were leaning into that, and they were starting to cheat and expect that, and they had to figure out a way to do something else, and they have. Like, tonight, I mean, a shot from Morgan Rielly, right? Like, when does Morgan Rielly ever shoot the puck on the power play? Never. But now he's shooting pucks on the power play, creates a rebound, boom, John Tavares pounces on it in front, right? A pass down low, bumped up front, you know, literally a low to high type of thing, or a high to low bump out in front to John Tavares in tight, and he does his work, you know, in his office. Like, there's just so many different ways that they can beat you, and the way that they just move the puck around. I don't know, Nashville's not a playoff team. They're not the greatest team, but it was really impressive to see, you know, that power play get going, and obviously Austin Matthews taking charge, to your point, and really attacking and being a much more intimidating factor out there on the ice, and not just in the offensive end, defensively as well, like bumping guys off pucks, hounding pucks, you know, being in good position defensively, not allowing guys to cut into the middle of the ice, like not allowing those seam passes. Like, he's really been exceptional on both ends of the ice, and best time for that to happen is now. He's been great. Another guy who I think we need to have a little chat about based off of his performance against the Nashville Predators is goaltending prospect Joe Woll. He looked fantastic. And a lot of people sitting here thinking it was all up in the Discord. If you guys aren't following our Discord yet, make sure you do. We'll put it in the comment in the description below, the link to our Discord. Lots of people thinking, hey, could this guy maybe start some games for us down the stretch? Could he factor into the playoff situation between the pipes? Why don't we have that conversation on the other side, Dave? Before we get into any of that, though, let me tell you guys about one of our show sponsors today, and it's Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all that fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know that my goal is to eat a little bit healthier this year, and if you're like me and you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to compromise the taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built Bar. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you wouldn't even think that they're good for you. They're perfect for that New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bar so good? For starters, 100%. Real chocolate. That's right. It's covered in 100% real chocolate. They've got unbelievable flavors. You got churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. I'm really not sure how Built does it, but these bars do truly taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, but a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't even need to wait around to get your box. For years, I've been telling you guys about ordering Built bars at Built.com, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or your Sam's Club down in the States. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk up to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built bars. If you're close to a Sam's Club, run in. Grab yourself a box. You know, hit flavors, brownie batter, churro. And trust me, you can thank me later. Built bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to Built.com using the promo code Lock15, get 15% off your next order. That's built.com. Use a promo code LOCKEDON15 at builtbar.com. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. Mike Stefano and Dave Morisuti. A split this weekend against the Carolina Panthers and the Nashville Predators. A loss to Carolina, a win against Nashville. But two games that are very encouraging for a team that's looking to shore things up heading into the postseason. One position that we kind of assume is already shored up. You know, we don't know how the defensive pairing is going to shake out. There's still question marks about how the four groups are going to kind of shake out, especially once Ryan O'Reilly gets back. But the one thing that I did think was pretty well set in stone, unless injuries occur, obviously that would change things, was goaltending. Ilya Samsonov, Matt Murray. Those are going to be the two guys that this team is going to be riding with. And if they both were healthy, those are the guys that would lead the Maple Leafs into the playoffs and hopefully on a big long run. Do you think that is still going to happen? Or is Joseph Woll, who had himself a night, played spectacularly, can he put himself in the conversation and maybe we can have a pretty solid trio potentially come playoff time? Like what are your thoughts on that, Dave?
It's funny because like we were just talking about the Carolina Hurricanes, who are currently had a 3-goalie rotation throughout the season. It's not unheard of. And like I've been keeping a close eye on Joseph Woll this season ever since he signed that extension and hearing that starting next season he does not require waivers. I said, like, this is a big season for Joseph Woll. And he started the year injured, dealing with obviously the recovery from a shoulder injury. He comes back with the Marlies, unbeatable, like literally unbeatable.
Yeah, I think it was 14-0 or something like that, or maybe 13-1, and then got his first call up to the NHL after that.
Yeah, so he goes on this incredible run with the Marlies. He gets called up, and he's won 3 of his 4 starts in the NHL this season. Obviously, a limited sample size. I get it. But the most impressive part about all this is, you know, he had a game this season where he faced 58 shots and he stopped 56 of them. That to me right there shows that there is potential in this goaltender right now. And when you look at this goaltending position for the Leafs, I've been craving for a goalie that they could draft and develop. Because you know why? Because I am tired of the team having to constantly trade assets for a goaltender and then you know, potentially that goaltender not working out, then you got to trade assets again to get rid of the damn goaltender. This is a like, and you got Samsonov for nothing. You just have to sign the guy to a contract. Obviously, Murray, you didn't pay anything to get him other than the salary. Like, this is a great situation for Leafs in that regard, that you've got options. Before, we didn't want any of the guys in net last year at certain points. My issue here is there aren't many games left. Like, Samsonov, I don't think he needs to play a whole lot. Matt Murray, they probably want him to play a little bit. I just don't know if they're going to, if Sheldon Keefe, he's already dealing with the 11-7 stuff. I don't know if he wants to deal with the 3-goalie rotation. But Joseph Woll, in my opinion, deserves that opportunity to show what he can do, because they said it on the broadcast. I'll give them the credit on the broadcast that they said, who knows? What if, like, Murray and Samsonov look terrible? Why not? You're so much riding on this season. If both goaltenders aren't stepping up, why not give the young guy who's clearly hungry for opportunity right now a chance to show what he can do?
Well, that's the ultimate question. Like, can he factor in here?
It's tough. It's because if this was earlier in the season, I would 100% agree with it. But because there's only 9 games left, that means you only have 9 games left to get these guys going and making a decision. I just don't know if you can factor him into a playoff start right now, because I think Samsonov deserves that first crack. I haven't been totally impressed with Murray's game other than the one against Florida. Like, he hasn't looked spectacular. Even Sheldon Keefe kind of says, like, you can't constantly have to score 4 or more goals to win a game. Like, he kind of was throwing Murray under the bus without throwing Murray under the bus in a way. So I think the only way I can see that happening is if Murray is just, like, in his next start, he's not good, and Sheldon Keefe is just like, kid's got the hot hand. Kid's playing better. He gives us the better chance right now.
Yeah, I do wonder how much that will factor in, just because of the unique situation that this organization is in this year, where it's, they have to win. Like, yeah, they have to win a round. And if the hot hand is Joe Woll, which I don't think we could say that yet. It's one game. And I guess you could say 4 games when he's played all season, but like,
2 games this month.
Yeah, like, I don't think you could sit there and say,
also, okay, Nashville Predators, who aren't exactly,
yeah, and like, there was no Duchesne for most of that game, no Ryan Johansson for that game, you know, Tanner Janot is no longer on that team. Like, they don't really have much offense in general. But with the Marlies this year, 19 games, he's 16-2-1 with a .930 save percentage. In the 4 games he's played in the NHL this year, and that's not including tonight's game, I don't think, actually. The because now he's played 5 games, probably.
No, he's played four games, so this is all updated.
Oh, this is all updated. Okay, a .934 save percentage. Again, very small sample size, so I don't think that I'm ready to say, like, this guy is part of the goalie competition in the final 9 games, but I do think that it is very satisfying knowing that he is playing this well, where if one of them falter, which we haven't really seen yet, thankfully, but what I think is more important is if that Matt Murray gets injured at some point and can't go, at least there's a little bit more confidence in Joe Woll stepping up and being the next man up than there was last year, if it would have been Chalgren, or the year before when it was Michael Hutchinson. So at the very least, you have 3 goalies that you feel comfortable with if they had to start or play playoff games. And I think that you could at least be satisfied with if you're a Leafs fan. Whether or not he becomes part of the conversation as they tandem into like a trandem, like a 3-way trio tandem thing. Is it just a trio? Maybe
that one.
Just a trio, I suppose, is what it probably could be called. I don't see that being the case. But should one get injured or should one really falter, there is another guy who can be part of the conversation. As for next year, do I think he's the goalie of the future for this team? That, I think, is very likely, actually. They've got him signed under contract for the next couple of seasons. After this one,
sweet number too.
very, I think he's making like 800K or something like that. And maybe not, it's sub a million. And to your point that you mentioned, he's not waiver eligible. So he would have to clear waivers. And if you're going into next season, you might want to keep this guy. He's drafted, developed, and he's cheap as well. So that's an interesting little wrinkle going into next year. But I think for this season in particular, it's still Samsonov and Murray's net, I think. Wald's been a nice story. He was terrific tonight. And my group chat was spent literally going back and forth with Frank Corrado and my producer from Leafs Lunch. Literally going back and forth with a bunch of like puns with Wall's name. It was quite funny. I will say that. But ultimately, I don't think that he's going to usurp one of those guys for one of those top roles in the crease.
I'm just going to add, he is signed again for two more years after this at $766,000. That's the cap hit. Under 800,000. That is some tidy business right there.
There you go. And I would expect him to be the Leafs' number two goalie next year. What happens with one of Murray, who is under contract, or Samsonov, who's a restricted free agent? I do not know. But I would expect for Joseph Woll to factor in next season. Not quite yet, but next year I think that he will.
It wouldn't surprise me. The Leafs are at a point where you can save some money on the cap by trading. I don't know if you can trade Murray. I don't think a buyout's an option. I don't know why. I have to look at the buyout.
They with Murray too, like his money is stupid. Like he's owed $8 million next year in actual cash. So yeah. His contract was so backloaded, very backloaded.
I think part of the thing too is because Ottawa retains salary. If the Leafs were to buy out Murray, I think Ottawa takes a hit on that too. I think that's how it works with when you're buying out a retangle. So actually, if you want,
no, I think they just have the retention. I don't know if they get additional buy. I actually have no idea.
We'll have to look into that, because that could be an option too. If the Leafs decide, you know what, it's cheaper for us to buy out Matt Murray. And if the cap hit isn't too egregious, I'd do it. If you feel like you need, but only if you feel like you need to do it. I'm not saying
it is egregious. Like look it up on Cap Friendly. I feel like it is egregious. Either way, I don't think that's.
Let's see here.
Just because he's making so much actual money, I don't know if it might be buyout proof. What's the buyout result for him?
So if we buy him out at apparently according to. June 5th, buy him out on June 15th, 2023, because there's $8 million remaining. Apparently, the cap hit, the Leafs would actually...
Oh, save $5 million this year, but then it would cost them $2 million the following year. That might actually be worth it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought that it'd be more because... Oh, no, because the money is more, actually. So that's kind of how that works. That's interesting.
Because the good thing is that there's no salary bonuses there.
Right.
So you're just taking that base salary and that's what you're equaling out. I think that's how it works.
And 24-25 is when we expect that massive jump.
Yeah.
In the salary cap. So that would be, it's also the year that they got to re-sign Mitch Marner, but anyways, we'll get there.
That's a problem for 2024.
Yeah, it's a problem. When we get there, we can talk about that. Anyone else who stood out to you this weekend? I think we got to give some love to Justin Hall. I think he's played excellent, man. And I thought tonight he had a really good game, too. Absolutely blew up. Who'd he blow up? Was it Trennan or was it Trennan who came after
him? Asplund.
Asplund, yeah. Rassley just blew him up along the boards. You love to see it.
If this is the Justin Hall, if you take Justin Hall from this game, you play him the playoffs and playing him with Mark Giordano, I can live with that.
The pairings we saw tonight, McCabe Brody, Geo Hall, Riley Shen. I think that's what we see game one.
I think that's I think that that's it. It sucks for Timothy Lundgren, but you have to go with the guys who are playing the style you need to play to win and doing the things you need to do to win.
Yeah, Shanner was throwing his body around too.
Yeah, and look, playoffs, knock on wood, there's no major injuries, but injuries can happen. Timothy Liljegren's just got to be ready for it.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. If there's anything else you want to get to, speak now or hold your peace.
What a game! What a weekend for John Tavares. I thought he was really good in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Because he was, what, like 7 games straight without a goal, and then boom, a couple of Genos here.
We called him out last week, and Sheldon Keefe kind of called him out. He wasn't doing what he needed to. That, like, also, Alexander Kerfoot, he shot a puck into the net and not in the shootout with actual defenders on him.
Well, that happened the other night also.
Yeah, but
that's 2 goals in 3 games for Alex Kerfoot.
Oh, man.
Man's on fire.
Hopefully he hasn't met his quota. This guy, he needs to do a little more of that. I think Sheldon Keefe is, you're going to be seeing a lot of Alexander Kerfoot on that second line going forward.
Well, definitely I would think we would see it in the next game. We'll see it in the next game for sure. I believe on Wednesday, we'll get into this more tomorrow. I believe on Wednesday is the first, like, the game that they play against the Panthers. Might be the first game, if I'm not mistaken, that Ryan O'Reilly is eligible to return.
And they said it on the broadcast, too, that is technically the first game he can come back. He was on the ice shooting the puck and was part of his spitting practice. It's an encouraging sign. I don't know. They are going to be very cautious with this, but if he's cleared and he's looking good, they're going to want to get some chemistry going. I'm going to that game on Wednesday, so
I'll probably be there too. So hopefully he does play, because I haven't seen him play live yet. Because between me going on vacation and like having to head back to Niagara for a couple of functions and stuff, like I haven't actually been here for home games since the trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been able to watch him play live on this team. So I would love for him to come in and play on Wednesday. I think that'd be sweet. There's another conversation for us. Maybe we can have this tomorrow, actually, since, you know, there's a couple of days in between the next game. But there is a discussion to be had about load management and whether or not we expect to see this start to happen with the Maple Leafs. We saw it happen, and we'll probably continue to see it with the defensemen, but will it creep into the forward group? We saw it happen in Boston. We've seen it before in Tampa. I'm curious if we could see it happen here in Toronto as well. Why don't we save that conversation and have it tomorrow? Because I think it's a worthy one. But that'll do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcast platforms. Receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_Morrissuti. Follow the show as well, Locked On Leafs. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead, smash that like button. Leave a comment down below as well. Let us know your thoughts on you know, anything we said in today's game. What encouraged you most about this weekend? Let us know down below. We'll be back with another episode for you guys tomorrow. Until then, keep locked right here on Locked On Leafs.